You know what? It's kind of a trick question. It's good to be ordinary as long as you allow God to make you extraordinary. Look at David. David was an ordinary boy. An ordinary child that became something so much greater. He became extraordinary because he allowed God to use him. So many times we want to be something. I see it a lot. People want to be something so much greater, something so much more. They want to be something more than ordinary, but they try to do it on their own. They try to do it without allowing God to have his way. They try to do it without allowing God to have control of it. You see it in the workplace. You see it in the church. You see it all over the place. It's when you're trying to make something of yourself. When you want to be extraordinary with God, you don't care of making something of yourself. You care of making something of God. You care of showing who he is, not who you are. There's a difference with the ones that grow stronger with God and the ones that begin to fall away. The ones that just want the power, so they can say, look at me, are never going to make it. But the ones that want the power and want something so much more, so they can show who God is, that's when you become someone. You know, it's even harder to the fact, if some of you guys come up and say, Dan, that was a really good message today. A lot of times it's hard for me to even say thank you. Because I'm like, it wasn't me, it was God. I don't want to take the credit, but I heard a pastor once told me, he said, no, when someone said that, just say thank you. He goes, there's nothing wrong with that. Just say thank you. But sometimes you sit there and you fight with yourself and you just want to make sure, God, I know it was you. Or I'll say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for using me. That the way to become extraordinary is to stay humble through it all. I don't want to be an ordinary church. An ordinary church, you walk in. Okay, I went to church today. And you leave. I don't want to be an ordinary church that tries to be extraordinary by all the physical stuff. You may walk into a church and go, wow, that place looks awesome. Look how great it is. But if you leave the same way you walked in, that was just an ordinary church. I don't care if we're in a tent, but if you can walk into that tent and you leave somebody different, you had an extraordinary time in that tent. That I want our church to be extraordinary. I want our church to be something that people can walk in and say, wow. Wow. I don't know what it was, but I felt something. I'm different. I'm changed. That they can walk in and say, you know what? The preaching wasn't the best. The music was okay. But wow, I got something out of that today. Wow, I'm somebody completely different. I'd rather have a church where I'm up here stuttering and can't say a word, and the music sounds horrible, and we got rats on the floor. But lives are getting changed. I said rats, not snakes. If there's snakes, I wouldn't be in here. But lives are getting changed. Then they have maybe the greatest speaker there were, the greatest musicians, the greatest house, and nobody leaves different than they walked in. I want to be an extraordinary house, an extraordinary church. You know, an ordinary never changed a life. Ordinary never turned heads. If you see an ordinary car as you're driving down the road, you don't go, wow. It's talking about a car, guys. That red thing my mom drives? Yeah. Yeah, that one. Just ordinary car. Ordinary never makes you think twice. An extraordinary church, it's when an atheist walks into the house and he begins to question what he believes. When he comes in and goes, wow, I've heard everything that's been said today 1,000 times, but I feel different. Begins to question what he believes, begins to question himself. I want to be an extraordinary people that not when we're in the house, but when we're at our job place, that people feel an extraordinary presence on us. They don't feel an ordinary person walking up to them, but they feel something that's on us, that's God's presence on us, that they're going, what is it about that person? That they can sense when you walk in the room because of God's presence on your life. I think about God's love. It's not an ordinary love. It's not an ordinary love. It's no ordinary love. Don't love God like you'd ordinarily love your spouse, your family, your friends. Love him in a way you've never loved before. God can use ordinary people. God wants to use ordinary people that say, here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. He's not looking for the most extraordinary person, because then they say, wow, you know why he preaches so good, or why so many people come to church? Because that boy can speak. Wow, you know why he killed Goliath? Because he's one of the greatest warriors we have. No, he used somebody so ordinary. Somebody that had nothing going for him in the physical aspect. An ordinary stone to kill a giant. You know why so many relationships, I believe, in the world don't last? Why so many divorces in the world are? Because they don't know what love is. We don't know what love is until we truly find God. What is love? You say, well, love, it's when you really like somebody. Love is this or love is that. No, we can't wrap our mind around what true love is. Because God is love. Can anybody wrap their mind around who God is? Can anybody wrap their mind around that God has been around forever? He will always be around. He's always been here. I can't wrap my mind around that. That's not ordinary. I don't try to wrap my mind around it because it hurts when I try. The universe, I was hearing somebody on TV or the radio or something doing the studies on the universe, and they say, we're finding out that the universe is infinite. It just keeps going and going and going, and it never stops. That no matter how far we discover it, there's still so much more we can't see. And they say the reason we can't figure it out is because it's so much bigger than us. He was talking about how a computer, a robot, can only wrap its mind around how much it's been taught and told to wrap its mind around. How much it's allowed to figure out. And he said, with this creator that must be out there, how much greater he must be that we can't even wrap our mind around how big the universe is. That we can't even wrap our mind around how large something is, because the one that created us didn't develop us to know that. Didn't develop us to figure that out, that we only know as much as we're programmed to know, or as much as we've been created to know. Unfortunately, some people are smarter than us. A lot of times I wish I was smarter, especially in school when I was taking tests and doing homework. But we need an extraordinary love to make it through things. We need an extraordinary love to keep our relationships together. If you feel your relationships are falling apart, go to the creator of love. Go to he who is love and say, you are love. Show me how to show it. You are love. Show me how to show it. Show me how to love. You say there's someone you can't love, someone you don't want to love, someone you hate. I can't forgive them. You go to God and say, God, you are love. You say it in your word that God is love. Show me how to love. In our relationships with our spouses, all of us, we need to be on our knees going to God and say, God, show me more how to love. You've put this spouse into my relationship, into my life. Show me how to love. God, when I come to you, Lord, show me how to love. Show me more of how to love. We love because because he first loved us. He first showed us love when he created us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Verse 1 is referring to Jesus. He showed love, and they didn't recognize him. Think about that. Jesus was on the earth. He showed an extraordinary love to all mankind. No matter what they did to him, he showed love. They beat him, he showed love. They cursed his name. They mocked him. They made fun of him. The God of love to stand before you and to not know him. Can you imagine that? Being in that day when true love is there, standing in front of you, saying, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what the cost. It'll take me no matter what it is. This is why so many times we get mocked in our Christianity. We get laughed at. We get put down, lied about, ridiculed, because they don't know him. They don't know who he really is. They don't know true love. It says, behold, that what manner of love the Father bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not, now it doesn't know him, it did not know him. What manner of love is? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What manner of love is the ownership of it. The manner of love, the ownership of it, the one that owns love, who is love. He isn't just showing us love, he is love. How people can sit there and say, well, I don't think God loves me. He has to love you. That's who he is. That's who he is. He has to love you. Why wouldn't he love you? That even when you've sinned against him, he still loves you. He still loves you because that's who he is. He's not just proving love to us. It said he is love himself. He's love itself. Us as humans, we try to show love by proving it to you. Well, if you love me, prove it to me. If you love me, prove it to me. Do you really love me? You don't show it. If we have to prove our love by showing it. He doesn't have to prove it. He just is love. That no matter what he does, it's out of love. It's out of love. You know, God told me one time, when we first started the church, he said, I've called you to preach the truth. He said, but remember, in everything I do, there is love. He said, in everything I do, there is love. So Jesus told me, you don't come up here and preach the truth out of hurt, out of upset, out of mad at people, out of people not doing things right. You preach the truth out of love to help them. You preach the truth out of love to show them who they can become. You preach the truth out of love, one, because you love him so much, but because you love others so much. They said, in everything you do, show love. How hard that is sometimes. But that's called extraordinary love. That no matter what the cost, you'll continue to show love. No matter what the cost, you'll continue to say, God, I love you. So we've been talking about Paul, when you're imprisoned, when you're getting killed, you say, God, I love you. I love you. That's what begins to set us apart from the world. Begins to show that we're different than the world. It's all about love. I think there's a song like that, ain't there, Craig? That it's all about love. That it's what separates us. The world doesn't know what love is. Sometimes we get angry. I'm going to hit a touchy point here. Is sometimes we get angry because those of the world we're trying to show love to, they don't show it back to us. How can I continue to show them love when they continue to treat me this way? Because my Bible says that they don't even know what love is. They don't know God. They don't know who love is. But we do. And that's how we can step above higher and continue to show that love to the world. What was that look for, Tim, Tracy? But we can continue to show love no matter what. That no matter what somebody does to us, no matter what they say to us, that we don't have to go back and say, well, you don't understand what he did to me. You don't understand what she said about me. If I started hating everybody that said something about me, I'd be hating a lot of people. I wouldn't have much love in me. Especially, you know, people saying I'm stealing from the church to buy that new Corvette of mine. That's my mom's. You gotta love people. But it's about showing the love. Let's keep going. It says, beloved, now we are children of God. and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's go down to verse 16 and 17. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So because he laid down his life for us, we know love. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So if you see your brother in need and you don't do anything about it, you just kind of blow it off. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So first of all, is God in you? If you never show love to anyone, you may want to rethink about if the God of love lives in you. But I believe as we get closer to the God of love, we get closer to God, that's when we begin to show it more. That's when it actually becomes easier to show God's love. That the closer you get to love, the easier it is to let it flow out of you. The easier it is to have it in your life. If you want your life to run good, run it on love, not hatred. For example, my truck, after I blew the head gaskets on it, and I was driving, and all of a sudden it kept dying on me. And it died, and I'd start finally get started and drive a little further, and it'd die. And finally it won't start, and it keeps blowing the starter on it, popping the starter. Then I get a phone call that somebody smelt in my diesel tank, and it smells like gasoline in there. A diesel truck's supposed to run on diesel, not gas. I went down there and I smelt it, and it does smell like gas. And it doesn't surprise me to have lost my mind and put gas in my diesel motor. But what I'm saying is, hopefully I can get that part of it fixed. But what I'm saying is, we aren't designed to run on hatred. We're not designed to run like the world runs. We're designed to run with love. We're designed to show love out of us at all times. When you go around hating the world, you go around mad at everyone, you go around with hatred in your heart, showing everything that's so far away from love, you're miserable. How many of you guys agree with that? But when you begin to show love, the greater it feels. Sometimes it's hard, but as you get closer to God, the more you want to show it. The more you want to show love out of your life. Now, I remember a time in middle school that I was talking to you, two Sundays ago about how I got knocked down, kicked down the bleachers, all that good stuff. But a time where a guy's like, no, we're going to fight. Come on, church boy. We're going to fight. And all I could think about was, what would Jesus do? I didn't think about, well, I'm a man. What should I do? I thought about, what would Jesus do? What did he do? On the cross, he took it. He showed love no matter what. He didn't come back with revenge and anger. He showed love. Remember someone coming up and punching me and kicking me and punching me. And I get back up, grab my books, and start to walk away again. And they come up and jack me again. Knock my books out of my hands. I go to pick them up and they kick me and I grab them again. Until finally he just started beating me and beating me. And I just smile. Remember us both going to the principal's office for fighting? They called witnesses in. And out of the principal's surprise, never once did I throw a punch. Never once did I do anything back. Not because I didn't want to, but because I wanted to show God's love at all costs. That what would it have made me if I, proclaiming God's love, carrying this around, and then I turn my back on it? I'm not saying don't stand up for yourself, but what I'm saying is when you're trying to show love, continue to make that point. Continue to show love, because when you're going into a place and you say, God, I'm going to show love no matter what the cost, I guarantee you some costs are going to come up. I guarantee you some things are going to get thrown at you. When you say, you know what, God, no matter what the cost, I'm going to serve you, I guarantee you that's when Satan will start attacking you. Because he's going, no, he thinks he can do this? Yeah, right, I'll show him. He thinks he has love? Let's see how much love he has. But God's like, come on, you can do this. You don't think you can love like that? I'm inside of you. I am love. You have love inside of your heart. You have something that the world doesn't have. The world can't compete with the love that we can show. It's a black and white issue there. They can't compete with the love that we're supposed to show. They can say, oh, I love my wife so much. I love my wife more than anybody loves their wife. But they don't even know what love is. And if we know what love is in my own relationship and all our relationships with our friends, our family, our spouses, how much more love should we be showing in our relationships than those of the world? Than those of the world. What kind of example are we showing to the world? That no matter what the cost, that we say, God, I'm going to show your love. Imagine how much stronger our marriages would be. If we could say, God, no matter how much she aggravates me, my wife would never aggravate me. But no matter, it's for an example, guys. No matter how bad I can't stand it right now, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter what she says or he says, God, I'm going to show your love all the way. Imagine how much stronger our relationships would be. Why is that funny? But imagine our relationships, all of our relationships with each other, in the house, in the church. There's conflict in the church, arguments. We're the ones that's supposed to show love, no matter what. No matter what, that we need to continue. Like I said, it's about extraordinary love. A love that the world can't find until they find God. A love that the world hasn't seen until they've experienced true love. True love. Let's go to 1 John 4:8. You guys still with me?
Yes, sir.
1 John 4:8. I'll just start at 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So it says, for God is love, and love is of God, and all that love are born of God and knows God. That makes sense? But God is love. Love is from him. And those that show a true love, those that show love, are born of him and know him. So therefore, the world doesn't know what love is. The world, we need to be that love to the world. The only way they're going to know what true love is by seeing it come out of those that are born again. coming out of us, something extraordinary that they look at and go, wow, this person's different than anybody I've met. The boss just reamed him. And after the boss walked away, he didn't even talk bad about him. Now, sometimes that can be hard. Your boss gets on to you and reams you. Your coworker's sitting next to you. The boss walks away, and the first thing you want to do, can you believe that jerk? But they walk away, and you just show God's love. You just show God's love. How many times have all of us, at any times, maybe not just with our boss, but as somebody walks away, that maybe that love we showed isn't still there? That sometimes, yeah, maybe we can put on a front to show God's love. But when they're no longer there, are we still showing it? Are we still showing God's love? Or even maybe nobody else is around and you're trying so hard to show God's love and they leave and you're like, that's stupid. I can't stand that person. Once you begin to get your thought process under control, that's when your character, that's when your attitude, that's when your life begins to change. First, it is the step of controlling your tongue. Once you control your tongue, begin to control your thought process. So many people can't control their tongue because they don't get this under control. Once you get this under control, then your heart starts to change. People ask, how did you stop cursing? It wasn't about just stopping it from coming out of my mouth. It was stopping it from saying it in my head. Because when you begin to say it in your head, you begin to dwell on those things. So then from there, it's so much easier to come out of your mouth. When you begin to stop cursing in your head, that's when it doesn't come out of your mouth anymore because it's no longer up here. The same thing with the bad attitudes, with negativity, with all your thought process. When you begin to get it controlled from here or whatever, and then from your mind, start controlling your thought process. Start crucifying it. Like I said, Christ talks about how in the New Testament it says that even if you think about killing or even think about lust, you think about all these things that you've sinned. You've done it, but there's a process that, with it coming into your head and you going, yeah, sure like to kill him. Or the thought of it coming in your head and you eliminating it. Yes, Satan can put thoughts in your head, but once you begin to eliminate it and not dwell on it, that's when your life starts changing. It's what you do behind closed doors. Yes, you may stop cursing out of your mouth, but if you're still cursing in your head, it's just as bad. Actually, it's probably worse because technically you're being somebody in front of everybody else that truly you're not. Because truly you're still thinking those things, you're still saying them, but you're trying to hide it so others don't know that you're saying it. Make sense? At least to my wife it did. And we don't, so think about this. If God is love, all we know of love is what God showed us. God is love, and we can't wrap, we discussed this already, we can't wrap our minds around how big God is, how great he is, that actually we can't wrap our minds around how great his love is. All that we know is what we've seen of his love. Think about how many times God has done something for us that we didn't even know it was him or that we didn't give credit to him for. How many times miracles have happened in our lives that maybe we were going to drive down Highway 55 today and get into a car accident and all of a sudden out of nowhere you get off the exit and you go, oh man, I'm so stupid. Why'd I get off here? This isn't my exit. Maybe it really wasn't you being stupid. Maybe it was God guiding you out of something. Maybe it was his love being shown to you saying, I'm going to save his life right now. I'm going to save his life right now. That you never know. God is, the love that God has is so great that we'll never, until we see him, be able to wrap our minds around what true love is. All we know is the representation of it. We know what it feels like. We know of its effects. For example, we have never seen God, but we have seen his light shine. Therefore, with his light, we see a representation of him. We cannot see him as he is, but of a reflection of him. For we're Christians. It doesn't say we're Christ. It says we're Christ-like. That when people see us, they don't technically see Christ, but they're supposed to see a representation of him. That we could probably be as close to Christ as we could ever be, but we'll still never be as perfect as Christ is. We'll still never know of what perfect was until we see him one day. The light does not show us God, but it prepares us for who he is. It prepares us for who he is. Light isn't the sun, but it's a reflection of it. So we walk outside. Get this. You walk out the door, you see light. It's preparing you for what the sun really is. It's preparing you to understand how bright the sun is. We don't truly look up and see how bright it is, but we can look around and see, wow, that sun's bright. We can see a reflection of who he is. Like I said, we aren't Christ, and we'll never be, but we can be a reflection. They may not be able to, the world may not be able to see Christ, but they should be able to get a glimpse of him through us. Through us, they should be able to get a glimpse of who Christ is. That they should be able to look at us and go, wow, he's not like everybody else. She's different than the rest. That if this is who the Christ is like, I want to know more. So many times people don't want to know who our Christ is because of the representation that we've made of him. Think about that. That so many people of the world look at Christians and they go, if this is what Christianity is all about, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because they're seeing a false representation of who Christ is. So as a Christian, do everything you can to show a true representation the best you can with the power of God in you to show who Christ is, to be Christ-like. If we consider to call ourselves Christians daily, begin to wrap your mind around what it means. That you're a walking example of Christ. A walking example of him. Look at your life. Would God 24/7 be proud to say, yes, he's an example of who I am. Yes, it's exactly how I was. Or does he go, man, I've been waiting for some time now and I haven't seen one thing like me. Come on, man, I know you can do this. You don't have to be me, but try to be like me. Just show what I was all about. You said you gave your heart to me, your life to me. Now let me use you. Let me turn you from ordinary to extraordinary. Let me turn you into somebody that you never thought you could be. Somebody you never thought you could become. Maybe you said you can't love because you never had a family that loved you. And he says, you know what? Even if your family loved you, that wouldn't have been true love anyhow, because only I can show you true love. Because true love comes from God. True love comes from Him that until you find Him, I'm telling you this, until you truly wrap your mind around who He is, you'll never know what love is. We can say, I give my heart to you, Father. But until we truly do, you won't understand it. And it's a process, guys. You don't just say, God, I give my heart to you. Oh, I know love. I love everybody. I just love everybody. I want to be extraordinary and show the world love. No, it's a process. Yes, there should be a change. But I tell you what, daily as you pick up your cross and you crucify your flesh, you begin to learn more about what true love is. That you begin to go, wow, God's love, that love that He's talking about, I have to crucify my flesh to show it. I have to crucify who I am to show it. The light is never as powerful, going back to the sun and so forth, the light is never as powerful as the source. So you'll never be able to show love as God does. But like the light, you should be a representation of it. The light is an attribute of God. Love is His very nature. It is who He is. God is light, it says, but it's His being side. God is love, it's His moral side. Like I said, guys, we don't even know how to love until we meet Him. And I want to close with this. Like we said earlier, God uses ordinary people who are ready and willing to step out into the extraordinary. He's waiting for you to say, here I am. Use me. That out of all the people that could have killed Goliath, the weakest in the physical form, the one that nobody would have thought could have done it, is the one that stepped up. If you're sitting here today and maybe you think, God can't use me. I don't barely know the word. I can't talk good. Whatever it may be, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. That God likes to use those. He uses the ones that knows they can't do it on their own. He uses the ones that knows that I can't do it, but God, through you, I'm going to let you use me. Mold me into who you want me to be. Mold me into something new. Numbers chapter 22. God had to use a donkey to talk. A donkey. It's sad when there's nobody else around to be used. And God says, you know what? I just have to use a donkey. I don't want God to skip past me because I'm not ready and use my dog to talk to somebody because I'm not willing to be used by God. I want my miracle to be given to me, not to a donkey. Then imagine what you could do in your life if you said, God, just use me. But it's about saying, God, I don't care what the cost is. I don't care the price. I don't care how heavy my cross is that I pick up daily. That whatever the cost is, God, I'm only here for a few years. I can handle this. Show me what you want me to do. Use me. Speak through me, God. And no matter what the persecution may come, and it says it will come, that I will do what you want me to do. Jesus turned ordinary water into something extraordinary. He turned ordinary water into something extraordinary. When an ordinary person allows himself to be used by someone not so ordinary, this is when he then becomes extraordinary himself. Think about that. When an ordinary person begins to allow himself to be used by someone not so ordinary, this is when he becomes extraordinary himself. Allow God to use you. Allow God to make you into somebody so much greater. But it's about coming to God and saying, God, I know I'm ordinary. God, I know I'm nobody special. But God, you have given me gifts, Lord. And if that's what you want me to use for your purpose, God, then use it. Maybe there's things that I don't know that I can do, Father. Reveal them. Or maybe there's things that I just can't do, Lord. Do them through me. And watch how God, and I'm telling you guys, when you begin to do that, that's when it's living a blessed life. That you, he may never give you anything physically, but you begin to say, wow, I am blessed. That if my God will use me, that's called blessed. That if my God will take and use me for his kingdom, whoo, God, I am blessed. You chose me. But he's looking for someone that says, here I am. Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.